produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Amen. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. I want to read verses 18, and I want to go to verse 23. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. And it reads, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together," that term espoused basically means to be engaged. The term engaged literally means to be given as a gift. "Before Mary was, when as his mother Mary was engaged or espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately," in other words, divorce her. Verse 20 says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." That's what I want to tag this particular series for the next few weeks. God with us. Look at somebody and repeat that. Just recite that. Just tell them, God is with us. Amen. God is with us. When we look at Matthew chapter 1, it opens up in verse 1 by saying, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham," and it goes through giving us how the lineage of Jesus looks like. Matter of fact, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ in Matthew 1, it allows us to see that through the heritage and lineage of Abraham and David that Jesus Christ is born. The Bible allows us to see that now the birth of Jesus Christ was this way. That's how verse 18 really should read. It is literally this way. When his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she's found with child, and the child is of the Holy Ghost. Let me see if we can unpack that, because Mary as a young girl, some have said Mary was between the ages of 12 and 18 years of age. She is a virgin. She's never been touched by a man before. And she's engaged, espoused, the Bible says, engaged to be married to Joseph. She's already been given to Joseph. And the Bible says in verse 18, before they came together, she was found with a child, and the child, notice what the Bible says, is of the Holy Ghost. Now, when we look at verse 18 and 19 says, Joseph, her husband, who was a just man, and was willing not to put a public example. He didn't want to make a spectacle of it, but said, I'll just divorce her privately. The Bible says that as he got ready to divorce her, that an angel shows up. That's where I need to leave my first point, that you've got to accept what God has done. In all of our lives, God has done some things, and notice whatever God has done in your life, you've got to learn how to accept what God has done. And I got two things I need to tell you. Number one, don't apologize for what God has done and is doing. And then number two, what God is doing in your life is unable to be explained. Somebody will get this later on, that when you think over your life, that there are some things that have happened to you that cannot be explained, because it is through the power of the Holy Ghost. Notice what happens. We've got to accept what God has done. And many of us, that's our problem, accepting what God has done. There are things that happen in our life that we just don't want to accept what God has done. But you've got to accept what God has done. And notice, whether it's good or bad, when you accept what God has done, what you're literally saying is that the will of God is the prevailing theme in my life. Well, let's look at it, because notice in verse 19, Joseph, her husband, being a just man, he was not willing to make her a public example. He didn't want to go to court and say, I want a divorce, because this is what I believe as used goods. She's damaged material. She's pregnant. She's knocked up. The Bible says that he was a just man. In other words, Joseph was the kind of gentleman that said, I will not make a public display of what Mary has going on, because it's some things you just don't understand. That's a word for somebody right there, that you need, before you speak on somebody else's situation, before you speak on someone else's life, you got to know it's some things you just don't understand. Look at somebody, tell them, you don't understand. You don't understand the choices I had to make. You don't understand what I had to choose. Sometimes it was between bad and worse. You don't understand. Sometimes you don't understand that the only choice I could make was the choice that I made. You just don't understand. And when people don't understand, don't allow them to have critical thoughts in your memory. You've got to cast out their thoughts and know that you're walking according to what God has said do. Look at somebody, tell them, I know that's right. So I got to accept what God has done. But notice, not only must I accept what God has done, verse 20 says, but while he thought on these things, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Let me give you this next point so I can get straight into this. What's in you is of the Holy Ghost. Look at somebody, tell them that it's of the Holy Ghost. You see, many of us got to know that what God has done for you, that it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit that did it. And when you know it's the Holy Spirit that did it, then you ought to be excited that man can't take away from you what God has done for you. And that's shouting good news right there, that when God blesses you, there ain't a man that can take God's blessing from you. So notice, what's in me is the Holy Ghost. Let's talk about the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost, what he does is he comes alongside, and whatever your natural is, he places his super on, so it becomes supernatural. Okay, let me explain it, because the Holy Spirit is not an it. Holy Spirit is a he. Holy Spirit is a person. It is the third person of the Trinity. And when we look at the Holy Spirit, it is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Trinity He is a him. And the Bible allows us to know in John 14:16, and I will pray the Father and he will send you another comforter, and the comforter will come. And notice, when the comforter comes, verse 26 says, he will remember, allow you to remember the things that I've taught you and allow you to be taught. Okay, let me unpack this, because the Spirit of God is something we all need. Look at somebody shout, we need the Spirit of God. And I'm not talking about a Spirit of God that makes us speak in tongues. But we need a Spirit of God that makes us speak to folk that don't like us. You see, many of us, we are so quick to want to speak in an unknown tongue. You won't speak to folk in your English tongue. You got to learn how to love not just folk that love you, but the Holy Spirit has you loving people that don't even like you. Okay. You see, we all need the Holy Spirit. John 3:5 says, be born of the Spirit. Acts 5:16 tells us to obey the Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, be led by the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 4:23 says, you got to be renewed by the Spirit. And Galatians 5:18 said, be filled with the Spirit. You got to have the Spirit of God. Look at somebody, tell them you need the Spirit of God. And you see, many of us, we claim we have the Spirit as long as we in church. But then we leave church and won't even talk to family members. You got to understand that when you got the true Spirit of God has you mending fences even when you didn't do nothing to break the fence. Y'all don't want to talk about it. Okay. Notice what the angel says. The angel says in verse 20, he appeared unto him in a dream, and he speaks to him, and he says, that which is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you real quick what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is our, number one, our comforter. Shout, he's our comforter. Number two, he's our convictor. Shout, convictor. But then number three, he's our converter. Shout, converter. But then number four, he's our completer. Shout, he completes me. In other words, he comforts me because there are times that I may not understand why I'm dealing with what I'm dealing with, but the Holy Spirit comes along and comforts us. In other words, he's called alongside to comfort and keep us even when we don't know we're being kept. Not only is he our comforter, he is our convictor. Shout, our convictor. Holy Spirit is our convictor. What do you mean he's our convictor? He convicts us of sin. In other words, you all not enjoy sin so much. Many of us, we enjoy sin too much. You see, when you got the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God, when you get from sin, when you get through lying, you want to tell the truth. Let me call them back. Hey, listen. Let me clear that up. I know I said so-and-so, so-and-so. But let me clear that up. I didn't mean so-and-so, so-and-so. This is what I really meant. Because some of us lie for no reason at all. Some of us enjoy lying. Well, I'm just talking about lying. That's a softball sin. That's what we call a softball sin. I don't want to talk about the big sins that we call big sins, those sexual sins, you know, because many of us, we can't handle when we talk about sex because we're too hot in the body. When you get up from sinning, you ought not feel good. Somebody said, well, I don't feel no different when I sin. Then you need to check the Holy Spirit in you. Because David said in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. In other words, when you get up from sinning, you want God to clean you up. Look at somebody, shout, clean them up, Lord. So not only is he a comforter, not only is he a convictor, he's also a converter.
What he does is, for those that are unsaved and out of church, you can't sit there and pretend as though that you don't need the Lord. When you encounter the Holy Spirit in a place like this, you don't need to feel anything. The Holy Spirit allows you to know that I need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I need God as my Father, and I need the Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of me. Somebody needs to know that I've got to have the Spirit of God. So he comes in and he converts you. In other words, he changes you. Look at somebody shout, change me, Lord. Yeah, I know how I used to be. But you ought not still be that way today. That ought to be something that people can say, there's something a little bit different about you. Because of the Spirit of God. Notice he's our converter, but not only our converter, he's our completer. Comes alongside and he completes us. I don't need a man, I don't need a woman to complete me. I've got God. If you're waiting on a man or a woman to complete you, you will always be incomplete. You need the Spirit of God in you. He is my completer. But notice the next verse. Verse 21, the Bible says, and she shall bring forth a son, and she shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. What she brings forth saves people. That's the next point. What she brings forth saves people. And it saves people from their, number one, their sin. But then secondly, their situations. Look at somebody shout, I've been saved. So verse 21, she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Notice, Jesus did not come for us to put gifts under a tree. Even though we celebrate it, that's wonderful. Jesus came to save us from our sin. Okay. Did it make you shout? Okay, watch what happens. Bible says in verse 21, she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. That term save means to deliver. He delivers his people from their sins. Now, what she brings forth saves people. Whenever the Holy Spirit gives you something, it is not just for you to get rich or make money off of. It is for you to save and help others. Y'all still don't know when to shout, okay. Been at this church 24 years in April, and y'all don't know when to shout. You got to know that what the Holy Spirit gives to you, not so that you can just consume it and just use it, but so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. So she brings forth a son, and the son is to save people from their sins. But hold on, I got something else. Verse 22, it says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. In other words, all this was already prophesied. It had already been prophesied and foretold. That's verse 22. It had already been prophesied and foretold. Because number one, God has confirmed. And number two, God has reaffirmed. He's confirmed it. And then he's reaffirmed it. He confirms it in his word. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Unto us, child is born, a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Isaiah 7, chapter, verse 14 talks about Emmanuel and his name being God with us. We already know that it's been foretold and prophesied. Look at somebody shout, it's been prophesied. God takes the time to prophesy something in your life. It is never just for you. It is always for others. Many of us don't understand that the reason why God can't trust us with more is because he can't trust us with what we have. If he can't trust you with what you have, he can't trust you with more. Okay. Notice, Bible allows us to know, now all this was done, verse 22, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. God has confirmed it. He's reaffirmed it. Now, the dream comes, but notice why we have dreams. Let me give you this quote. Dreams are the illustrations from the book your soul writes about you. Marsha Norman. Many of us need to know that when we have a dream, dreams are just simply illustrations of what the soul is writing about you. Show me your dream, and I'll show you who you are. What are you dreaming? Okay. Many of us need to know dreams have a way of speaking to us. And when they speak to us not of where we are, but where we're going. Okay. I knew it was going to get quiet right here. I knew it was going to get silent because some of y'all don't dream. But when you dream, for the three of us that dream, some of y'all, I don't even think y'all sleep. But when you dream, dreams have a way of showing you the direction of where you're going. Let me close it out this way. The Bible allows us to know in verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Let me give you this. God speaks four different ways to us. God speaks four different ways to us. Let me hang out here homiletically for about 5 minutes. God speaks to us four different ways because somebody is trying to figure out in my dream, how do I know that God is speaking to me? Number one, he speaks through scripture. Number two, through the Spirit. Number three, through the shepherd. And then number four, through situations. Let me unpack all four of them. Number one, he speaks through the scripture. If you read the word, God speaks through his word. Matter of fact, if you read the word on a consistent basis, God will continually give you fresh rhema word. That's why I don't need anybody to speak a word to me. I don't need anybody to call me up front and tell me to hold my hands out. I don't need that because I read his word and God speaks to me through the scripture. So number one, he speaks through the scripture. Number two, he speaks through the Spirit. I remember I was in a grocery store one night and I was in there getting some milk for EJ. This show you how long it was ago. And this woman walks up to me on this aisle and she just starts speaking to me. And I mean, as she's speaking to me, she just starts prophesying all this stuff that she sees. And I mean, it was on spot on. Check, check, check. And you know, whenever somebody does that, I never give them, you doing it. That's right. Uh-huh. Amen. Because I want them not to get in the flesh. I want them to stay in the spirit. And she was in the spirit and she spoke and it agreed with my spirit because I knew that where I was headed, that everything that she was saying, God was speaking to me because I know how God deals with me. So God speaks through the spirit. Now, there are times that God won't speak through people. He'll give you a still small voice. That is the Spirit of God. You've had those inclinations where you say, man, something told me not to go down that street. I don't know what made me go all the way around, but I'm glad I did, because so-and-so happened. And had I been going down that street at that time, I might have been the one that da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That wasn't nothing but the Spirit of God. Look at somebody, tell them, I know that's right. And so you've got to listen to when the Spirit speaks. Okay, so God speaks through the Scripture, speaks through the Spirit. Y'all ain't gonna like this third one. He speaks through your shepherd. Some of us leave every Sunday, and I don't never been to say nothing to you. But I know why. I ain't your shepherd. Some folk come to church every Sunday just because they're connected to somebody else. They don't connect with me. I know they don't connect with me. May not even like me. May not even respect me. But it does not change. God called me and put me here. You see, you got to get past the fact, well, he just a man, she just a woman. You got to get past that and say, that's the man, the woman of God. I've got to listen and pay attention, because God is saying something to them, to me. Speaks through the shepherd. You see, many of us, we don't understand how powerful that is, that we have a shepherd, a pastor that actually listens to God and takes time with God. Listen, I ain't sitting up just getting a bunch of hodgepodge stuff, putting it together. Yes, I know how to put sermons together to make it tickle your fancy for you to run, jump, and shout. That is not my assignment. My assignment is to feed you. I wish Janine would come home and talk about, you having fruit snacks for dinner tonight. That's junk food. Okay, what we having tonight, baby? Well, I figured we have some fruit roll-ups tonight, since you had fruit snacks last night. The nutritional value of that is not going to help me, even though it tastes good for the moment. And many of us, that's why we come to church. Many of us, we come to church because we want to feel good for the moment. We are like spiritual junkies. Just give me something to feel good for the moment. Lord, let the preacher say something to make me feel good for the moment. And you got track marks all in your spirit because you just want to feel good for the moment. But God wants you to grow up. Look at somebody shout, you got to grow up. You got to grow up. Get off of the junk food. Man, you gotta understand. Many of us, our spiritual aptitude is so low. Man, the first moment, man, if I was to go to closing right now, y'all jump up and shout. Oh, he preached today. What he preached about? I don't know, but he closed. All of that is good and celebration-wise. What have you gotten out of the Word of God? Notice, God speaks through the shepherd. I come to the church singing, great, wonderful. I come to hear the choir, praise team. But I need to eat from the table of the Word of God. But then, Not only does God speak through scripture, spirit, shepherd. Fourthly, as you see up there, he speaks through our situation. Sometimes situations are your best teachers. Man, let me tell you, some of my best learning has been through actual on the job trial and fire. When God says, that's the way you want to do, okay, I'll step back. You go on and do what you're going to do. Call me when you need me. Because the way you're going, you're going to need me a lot sooner than what you think. And situations will teach you things. Man, some of us need to understand the school of hard knocks has hit our head and changed our lives. You better thank God that God allows situations to change us. So he speaks through the scripture, speaks through the spirit, it speaks through the shepherd, it speaks through the situation. And let me close it up by telling you in verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. As I close this sermon up, I need you to understand the reason why God is doing everything that he's doing, the reason why he's allowing a son to be given, the reason why he's allowing a virgin to bring forth the child, the reason why he's allowing Joseph not to put her away and to continue on in the relationship, simply because, verse 23, so God can be with us. In your life, could it be that you're in what you're in and experiencing what you're experiencing because God is with us? Could it be that you didn't sleep at all, had a bad week, bad month, bad year? Could it be it was all done so that God could be with us? What does life look like when God is with us? Well, I tell you, it's not perfect. But one thing I'm certain of, that in any situation you're in, God will be right there with you. You see, most of us don't understand the importance of having God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. But I need all of God with me. Let me close it up this way. There are those that are in this room that you're trying to figure out, Pastor, when you say God is with us, what do you really mean? Oh, let me close it out by telling you this. There was this story of this man that had all of this wealth. And I mean, it was a plethora of wealth. This man had a plethora of wealth. He died. And when they gave everything to the attorneys in the inheritance decided they were going to have an auction. And so everyone that was in this community decided that this man had so much stuff that they had to go to this auction because this was unlike any other man. This man had all kind of stuff. He had a Cartier jewelry. He had Patek Philippe watches. I mean, this man had the Rembrandts, the Da Vinci. I mean, he had it all. He had the Lalique glass. This man had everything that you can name. He had it going on. And so they decided to have an auction. As they called everybody to the auction, they get to the auction that day. It's jammed packed. You can't get in the auction anymore. And they began with one particular item, they said, listen, we're getting ready to start the bid off with this one item. They said the first item that we're starting off is that this is a picture of the man's son. And everybody sat there looking like, we don't want the picture of no man and his son. We don't want his son. We want his stuff. We want the Patek Philippe's. We want the Cartier jewelry, the Rembrandt. That's what we here for. And so nobody said a word. You could hear it was silent in there. And the auctioneer said, I'm starting it off with a bid of $10. I need somebody to bid just $10 on this picture of the man's son. If you can just start off. And nobody moved. He said, we can't go any further. Somebody stood up and said, sir, what about the Picasso's? He said, we'll get to that. But first of all, we need to get this first picture auction off. And all of a sudden, one little guy stood up and said, I'll take the picture of the man's son for $10. And when he decided to take that picture, he grabbed hold of the picture and gave him the $10. And the auctioneer hit the gavel and said, the auction is over. What do you mean? What do you mean? Somebody stood up and said, you got Cartier jewelry. You got the Patek Philippe's and the Rolexes. You got the Rembrandts and the Picasso's. What do you mean it's over? He said, well, the inscription on the back of the picture and on the actual inheritance is that whoever got the man's son, they got it all. I'll see y'all next Sunday morning. But is there anybody here that knows that you got to have Jesus Christ? Because if you can grab hold of Jesus Christ, is there anybody here that knows that you can have it all? Why don't you grab somebody and let them know that when God is with us, that if we got Jesus Christ, then we have it all. Is there anybody here that know I can have it all, but I gotta have Jesus? Is there anybody that knows I got Jesus Christ? He's Lord and Savior of my life. Can you shout, yeah? Shout, yeah.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll free international callers 1-888-201-5313.